Hello and welcome back to another episode of Why We Play, the show that wants to interview you, the gamer. This is Brennan coming back at you with another great interview today, and I have another fantastic guest from the Kinda Funny Forums, actually. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hey, Brennan. Thanks for having me on the show. I've really been looking forward to it. My name's Luke Spencer. I live currently in Stillwater, Oklahoma. I'm a student at Oklahoma State University, and about to graduate here in a month or so. I saw your posting on the Kinda Funny Forums, which I guess I consider myself an active member of. I've really enjoyed that community and that sort of content for many years now. And yeah, I'm a big gamer at heart, mainly. And that's me in a nutshell.
So you're going to school. What are you going to school for?
My degree is multimedia journalism production, which sounds sort of narrow or niche, but really, I would just like to get in the field of making cool things with media somehow, whether that's behind cameras, in front of cameras, or editing things. I like just making cool things with other people, so I'm sort of just seeing where that goes. A couple of my jobs, I edit video for the business college here, and then I also am a videographer for a creative agency on campus too. So yeah, that's what I'm going to school for.
See, that's pretty cool. Like I'm always behind people, you know, wanting to make cool shit, right? So, like,
right.
That's why I started this, is because I've always wanted to make something that I think is cool,
right?
And something that I want to make and I have control over. And
yeah, totally. Creative expression. And funnily enough, one of the reasons that your post on the forums caught my eye was because there's the on-campus newspaper publication and website here at Oklahoma State. It's called The Ocali, and I've done stuff for them for several years now in my time here. And one of those things was I started a podcast there as well. So I was like, oh, this looks like a guy trying to do a similar thing but about video games. So I was like, that sounds awesome. I'd love to get involved. Big fan of the podcasting medium in general and meeting new people. So yeah.
I've been listening to podcasts for probably over 10 years, and this has always been something I've wanted to do. Basically, when podcasting first, you know, arose from the Adam Curry days and in the form that it is now, right? So it has been over 10 years I've been listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
But now it's just like a daily routine of mine. Like at work, I will pop in my headphone and just throw on a podcast and then just let it play out. So
it's like infinite learning. You can always be learning something. One of the biggest appeals to me for the medium was that ability to multitask. You know, you can't really watch a YouTube video while you clean up your house or, you know, whatever else. But I could always be learning something or listening to a story or just, you know, laughing through a talk show or whatever. So
100%. And then my wife knows more than anybody. Like, my podcast like become like a nightly ritual of making sure that everything's ready to go for the next day, so that way I can have no gaps in content flowing into my ears, which may, you know, some people may consider a problem, right? But I think it's awesome and I enjoy it, and it's always fun to listen to something new, right?
Yeah, totally. And much respect for you putting this together and inviting on just strangers who are also gamers. I thought that was a really cool idea. So much respect for what you're doing. And yeah, happy to be here.
I appreciate it. Like, I always in the back of my mind can think, oh, this can go terribly wrong. Like, I am literally inviting anybody on here. I've actually been super lucky, and everybody's been awesome. So
that's good. Yeah, that when you said that, it made me wonder, oh, I could be a total psycho or something.
Exactly, right?
And I could turn into a psycho in the middle of the interview.
And at the end of the day, like, you know, I could choose whether to post it or not. I don't think I would
not post it.
Just to be like, what the hell is happening? Like, what? But, you know, it's I've been super lucky so far, and I hope that luck continues, so. So you mentioned you play games. Like, okay, so
yes.
I'm gonna go with what I've asked everybody. And where did you start playing games? What console? What game had the biggest impact on you that you can remember? The first one.
Right. So the first one was before I really knew what I was doing. A really young age, my dad we had a Super Nintendo just laying around in the house that was his in college, I think, or maybe after college. So a Super Nintendo with NFL Quarterback Club, Aladdin, and Super Mario, well, All-Stars, the Super Mario compilation. And just those three random things, I began pushing buttons and liking what happened when I did that. So that was my first exposure to them, I guess, the hook, I guess.
So those are some super, like, not Mario. So far, I think everybody said Mario, which I totally get, right? It was the revitalization of video games in the modern era. But you pull out some deep cuts, including, like, Aladdin. Like,
yeah, and I even looked up a couple others so that I could knew. I had a feeling you were going to ask that question. So I looked up on Wikipedia to actually learn about those games that I messed with, because as, you know, like a functioning adult, I've never looked back at them. So it was, NFL, it was like John Madden's, I think, NFL Quarterback Club, Aladdin. There was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I think, like Street Fighter or something. It was a fighting game with TMNT. And just the most random little swath of games, I guess, my like dad had accumulated through garage sales or whatever. Never met anyone else who had ever played any of those, besides Mario, of course.
I've got Aladdin under my belt, and I think I may have played, I played most of the Ninja Turtle games, so.
Really?
It's very vaguely cool. Familiar, but like you said, like, the amount of times I actually look back are few and far between.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But when I actually would, you know, consider myself, when that turned into a real hobby for me, was when Christmas morning my brother and I guess I was like 8 or 9, there was a PS2 waiting for us downstairs with there was like a gap in between there. I never had any, like, my parents didn't want us, or I was just never didn't have any friends with like an N64 or PS1 or anything like that. But when the PS2 around when that came out, that was waiting for us with Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man game.
Oh my
and
yeah. Spider-Man 1 or 2?
1. Oh. We later got 2, and that one's great as well. But 1 had a soft spot in my heart. And it just blew our minds, you know, from the Super Nintendo to, you know, web-slinging through New York City. Just the graphics, we were like blown away. And sorry, I know I'm talking a lot, but my dad, from whenever he played that Super Nintendo, you know, I don't know when, but not a furthest thing from what you'd call a gamer at all, you know, doesn't really see the value in them. But the one game he ever played was Spider-Man with us that Christmas night. He stayed up all night and beat it in one sitting until it was over, and he has not played a game since.
That's actually,
like, he's a college football coach, so he's like in the furthest world away from all that, doesn't even think about it. But for some reason, Spider-Man had its hooks in him.
Okay, that's great, actually. That actually, recently my dad's actually started getting back into games again.
Really? That's awesome.
My mom bought him an Xbox One for I think it was like their anniversary or something like that. And so you can start seeing him like dipping his toes back in, because it's been a while since he's really played anything, right? Like, probably
How old is he?
Hopefully he doesn't listen. I think he's like 43, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's got to be up there in like the sphere of popular gaming ages. I don't know. I swear I come across some weird statistics sometimes where like the majority of gamers are like in their late 30s or something, and that sort of surprises me.
Yeah, it's like mid 20s to early 40s or something like that.
Oh, okay. But well, that's awesome. So you kind of have that new hobby going again with your dad.
Yeah, I mean, he's the one who got me into gaming. He got me my the first consoles, and we played online, like I said in the very first episode. Like, he was in the Air Force, and so he would get deployed over to Bosnia. Well, he was deployed in Bosnia for like 6 or 7 months, and so we would sit on the computer every like twice a week and play online backgammon together. I was online gaming before it was cool.
Yeah.
But then he came back from there with a PlayStation 1, and I mean, we played games like Crash and Spyro and stuff like that together. It was around like the late OG Xbox, early 360 days that he kind of fell off. He would dabble here and there, but we haven't sat down and played a game together since like Rock Band, I think. And we got that for Christmas, and no lie, we played that for probably 18 hours straight that night.
Yeah, that's how all Christmas Day games go.
That's the best, man. That was like some of the best times ever.
Oh yeah, that's so. What do you and your dad play now?
Together, nothing right now. I kind of got him dabbling in Overwatch. He hasn't pulled the trigger on buying the full game. I might actually just buy it for him.
Right.
Because that game's great, and I play that constantly.
That's Except a pretty hardcore now, game for a reformed gamer, I'd say.
Yeah, I kind of threw him into the deep end on that one. But I also know he has, like, he bought Battlefield 1 for some reason. I've yet to figure out why.
Maybe he has an appreciation for history.
I just bought Battlefield. Like, he bought this at launch. I just bought it when it was on sale for like $30. I couldn't pass that up, but yeah. I don't know. He's not really into that. Most of the time he plays Rocksmith 2014 because he plays guitar too. So those two kind of go hand in hand.
Naturally, yeah.
So, I mean, lately we haven't been playing anything together. I'm trying to find that game though. I'm thinking Rocket League. I'm thinking Rocket League is going to be my next try.
Ooh, yeah, later when we talk about what we're playing now, I'll give you my spiel on Rocket League. That's my current love.
So that game's always a current love. I don't play it nearly as much as I want to because I'm drowning in other stuff right now. But yeah, you mentioned something that's actually interesting though before, and I don't know if you picked up on it or not. Well, you obviously lived it, right? But you skipped like an entire generation of like the transition to 3D. Like,
right.
I've never actually talked to anybody who's done that.
Really?
Sorry, I'm not throwing flack, but it's just, it's fascinating. Like, what happened? Yeah. Like, why did you stop playing?
That's a fine question. I've never, no one's ever had that reaction when I told them that before. I don't know. I guess something in my life, I grew up playing a lot of sports and I don't know, just being outside a lot. And so from those, like, I don't know, I was at that age, I didn't know how to explore the world of gaming and see what else was out there. You know, it was just sort of what was in my house. You know, that was what I knew and would occasionally, you know, dabble in. Yeah, something, we just dabbled with that Super Nintendo, and for whatever reason, I didn't even know any of that existed, you know? I just accepted the PS2 was the PS2. I never questioned where number one was until later, you know, it became a real hobby for me, you know, and I got in the niche of things, and I was like, oh, dang, that's where a lot of those classics come from, you know? And, you know, since then, you know, being grown now, I've dabbled in some of those like N64 games, like with friends that still have those. But yeah, it's kind of stinks. I have a little hole, a significant hole in my repertoire of stuff that games I have experience with.
Yeah, I mean, because you miss like an entire seminal section that some people would consider some of the best games ever made, right? Coming out of that point, like Metal Gear Solid 1.
Yeah.
Crash, which is, you know, it's up in the air. I did Crash a lot. I can't say anything, but, you know, there's their share of haters, right? You missed the Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, Mario 64, like, all these games that the breakthrough titles for 3D, whether they hold up now or not is a different story, but, like...
Right, or some of those franchises that, you know, are still thriving today, that's where they started, and I just sort of hopped in like with their sequels, and that was okay with me. I mean, it worked out.
I've never actually thought about that. That's super interesting, because like that's probably like a part of it feels weird to say gaming history, but I can't find the other word for it, where like all these pinnacle series kind of got their footholds.
Totally. Like a lot of those iconic like characters. That. Yeah, like that. But one thing that does kind of stink, though, is since I, again, kind of skipped that super polygonal, you know, like early 3D era, it's really tough for me. Like when I try those games now, it's really tough for me to appreciate them, I think, as much as like someone like you or who did grow up, you know, with those series of games. I'm just like, God, these are really ugly.
I completely understand that. I mean, you go back farther than when I started playing, and I'm like, Jesus. Even now, it's kind of hard sometimes to go back to, like, a 64 game. You're like, oh, my God, this looks so bad.
Right.
Like, Ocarina of Time, I'll still go back and play. Majora's Mask is probably one of my favorite games of all time. Even then, I have to be committed to actually playing them.
Yeah, no, I understand that. That's something I thought about doing, going back to playing some of those that got me into it. But like you kind of mentioned earlier, there's always so much new stuff coming out now that I'm always wanting to try. It's tough. Like, well, that backlog's just going to keep growing there, or I can go back and, you know, reminisce. It's a good problem to have. I'm not complaining.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So. That brings us to now. What exactly are you, you know, what do you got your hands on now? What are you digging? What are you enjoying?
Well, I'm a proud owner of all the current consoles. I'm, you know, 99% a console guy, except the Switch. I haven't picked up one of those.
I was going to ask if you got one.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting married soon too, so I'm really trying to save. So I'm trying to, I think I may wait till maybe Mario Odyssey comes out or something to jump into the Switch. But
yeah,
anyways,
completely understandable. Congratulations, by the way. Being married rocks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm hoping so. I have full confidence it will. But yeah, so right now I play most of my multi-platform stuff on PS4 just because I don't really know why. I dig the feel of the controller, and that's where my brother was playing at the start of the new generation.
That's probably more the reason now that you mention it. I was going to ask if you had people that are playing that ecosystem. Well, that's the reason why I started off with Xbox, is because I have tons of friends still on that ecosystem. So,
right, and put a pin in the whole friends thing, like ecosystems. We'll talk about that again later. But I think that so most of my multi-platform stuff, like you, I just started Horizon Zero Dawn. Rocket League is just my my sweet spot of what I'd love to just go back to. The classic question, if you're stuck on a desert island with one game to play forever, that's it. I'd pick Rocket League just for the replayability and always able to get better at it. You know, it makes me feel good. I love that one.
That way, when you get off that desert island, you'll be able to smash anybody that comes your way.
Oh, geez, maybe I can finally start doing those aerial stuff that you see those guys on Twitch doing like crazy. So I'm digging that. Just started Horizon recently. I've got the one friend that I have online to play games with. All he plays is Battlefield. So I jump into Battlefield 1 from time to time with him. But I love to play as many of the releases that come out that I can afford to jump into, because, you know, I love staying in the conversation, seeing, you know, because there's so much out there right now. My Xbox I sort of use for the, you know, its exclusives. The Halos I have a lot of fun with, and Gears. And then the good old Wii U is sort of that toy that you bring out with a lot of friends over and play Smash here and there.
So, have all three as well for all the same reasons. Just swap the Xbox and PlayStation because all my friends are on Xbox. Okay. So I mostly play everything on there.
I gotcha. And I love all three of them. You know, they're like my little kids. I just kidding. But no, I love all three of them. The whole console wars argument is stupid to me. There are great games on each of them, and I like to experience all of them. So,
So when somebody starts the, because I agree with you on this 100%. When somebody starts up this console war trash, more or less, like, where do you think that actually comes from? I haven't really understood it at all.
What I think, because, you know, there was a time when, you know, I just had, you know, 360 for a long time before I got my PS3, and, you know, and I think that it comes from just wanting to defend where you put your money or where you've invested your time. You know, you don't want anyone telling you that, oh, you picked wrong with that $300 gaming machine, or, you know, what you enjoy is inferior to what I enjoy. I think it's just sort of a pride thing that people want to stick up for themselves and the route they've chosen to take with it, you know, even if it's just a hobby with games. And then with the internet, it all gets way too personal, and I'm just like, this is silly. These are meant to have fun with.
Oh, the internet's just a cesspool of that trash.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other words for it. It's just it's baffling, the vitriol and hate for a black box made by a multi-million-dollar corporation can just bring out in a single individual. It's staggering.
I know, right? Then they're willing to defend it with their name, their reputation, and you people paid for this, remember? Like, it's not like that's your friend that saved you from falling off the cliff that you've got to defend in an argument. This is a product that people like to have fun with.
It's literally like the definition of a first world problem is like,
I know.
Your box is worse than my box that I play computer code on and occasionally talk to friends over the magics of the internet. It's like,
yep, these are good problems to have.
Yeah, exactly. If that is your main problem in life, you're doing all right. Put your bitch in and go fucking enjoy it.
Totally.
I mean, I don't know. I've always found it asinine. I will be ride or die Xbox. Just because I prefer that platform over PlayStation.
Yeah,
but
that's fine.
I'm not going to disparage anybody. And even when I didn't have a PlayStation 4, I would still like listen to the PlayStation podcasts and be in that ecosystem and try to learn and try to figure it out and see what's coming out, because competition's good. Right? Like, it's not a bad thing.
Totally.
So you have a Wii U, right? Are you looking to get a Switch? You said you were going to look at getting at Mario Odyssey, so...
Yeah, I was hoping for maybe the holiday season that comes out, maybe they'll bundle it together with the Switch and maybe pick it up then. Here's one of my interesting gaming tidbits. I've barely touched the Legend of Zelda games. I dabbled with Twilight Princess, and I want to love those games because on paper they seem like something that Luke would be all over. But I don't know. The few I've tried just haven't hooked me. And you know, recently in the online gaming world, all the perfect scores that Breath of the Wild has gotten, and it's like this second coming. I'd love to know what that's like. So I'm down to give it a try. So I figured maybe, if I get the time and the money to try that out, I could play it on Wii U, I guess, and then, get the Switch later.
There's no I guess about that. We recently bought a Wii U because my daughter's starting to get into that age where she's like, she'll come out when I'm playing, and she'll go, "Oh, Daddy, I want to play the space game," or like, "I'll bust out."
That must be the coolest feeling ever.
A little bit. It can get irritating when she's trying to rip the controller out of my hand, but that's besides the point. So we recently actually rebought a Wii U, so she can go and play Mario and stuff like that, because it's not a super breakable tablet looking thing, right? And she can sit there and she can get some game on. Like, I'm not gonna go buy a Switch for her. The Switch is gonna be for me.
Yeah.
and my wife.
One of those can take a few dings more than the other.
Exactly, right?
The Fisher Price iPad.
Oh, jinx. So we picked that up and I said, because I was seeing the same thing. I'm like, Legend of Zelda, it's getting tens, it's getting tens, it's getting tens, it's getting 99s. I'm like, I have to play this. I'm a huge Zelda fanboy. I wear it on my sleeve.
So you already were a Zelda fan, so you had that going into it, sort of knew what to expect, right? This sort of legacy about it.
Well, I thought I would know what to expect. I'm telling you, you should try Breath of the Wild. It's a complete departure from anything the series had ever done before.
Well, maybe that'd be a good thing, since the series before I can never quite get into.
Oh, that's one. That's exactly right. Like, it's even from the baseline mechanic of jumping, is this game different? And it just compounds from there. This game is vastly different than anything that's ever come before it, and it's fantastic.
Man, and like, with so many people, gushing about it like that, it's like, how could I not try it? So I would definitely like to eventually. But I have this. So here's another quirk about me, I have this thing. If I try not to watch too many of the glowing reviews, or if like on a podcast, if they start gushing about Zelda or something like that, I'll try and like skip ahead, because if I like hear too much hype for something, like my internal hype train like can't control itself. So whenever I inevitably try said thing, I always get disappointed. Like I, so I try to like, okay, I trust y'all, it's good, I'm gonna get to it eventually, because I have this problem of ruining things for myself.
Yeah, that game, that makes sense too. You have to watch out for the hype train. I find that I'm doing better at it. I'm not perfect at it, but I'm trying to get better.
Yeah, that was like I remember around the time. I apologize if I keep talking over you, by the way. Skype, there's that little delay.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, I remember when The Last of Us came out. Remember, it was getting similar, like, perfect scores in this, like, whole storm of amazingness. Yep. Like, for whatever my situation, I was playing a bunch of stuff. I couldn't get to it until, like, 6 months or so later. And by that time, I had just eaten it all up, listened to all the reviews, podcasts, and I was like, I am ready for this game to change my freaking life when I sat down. And I played it, and like obviously it was a great game, like nothing short of that, but there was a part of me that was like, what am I missing here, you know?
Why is cancer not cured? I played this game, why?
I know,
that's how it was. I'm like still Luke. I kind of actually with The Last of Us, and I agree it's a very good game and it's a well-told story, I kind of agree with you. Like, I love it, and it's fun, and it's tells a compelling story and great characters, and I'm just like, okay, same thing. My life's not any different. Like,
yeah,
I could see why it got tens. I can see some faults in it. Like, this isn't perfect, but
yeah,
there are tons of other games I'd rather go play.
Yeah, and those games for me, you know, the ones that truly have, you know, knocked my socks off in every regard, I think were the ones that I either had no idea what to expect going into it, or, you know, had a general presumption, but again, I didn't hype it too much for myself, so it like, you know, blows my own expectations as to just trying to match the feelings of others.
So has there ever been a game that you have literally scoffed at and then went and played and it blew your socks off, despite what anybody was saying?
Ooh, let me think. That's a really good question that at first I sort of wrote off.
So this happened to me recently, right? Overwatch. I think I looked at it and I said, oh, Blizzard's making it. That's awesome. I don't like how this looks, and I don't like Team Fortress all that much. And I'm not like I'm going to dump hours and hours into a competitive game where my brain goes up and down. Screw this. 22 heroes, whatever. Until the open beta came around, I'm like, oh shit, this game's really good. I think that first night that I played the open beta, I was like, all right, you put your money where your mouth is, and I straight pre-ordered that like right away. And I don't think I put it down for other games, but like that is the game that I'm like, I'll go back to Overwatch, because I don't know what else I want to play right now.
I know, right? That's the thing. When you get those hooks in you, it's tough to explore the other stuff too, because, you know, why be adventurous when you've got comfort food there? That's my Rocket League right now.
Yeah, I'm facing that problem right now too. I feel, honestly, they just released a new hero in Overwatch, and I try not to say anything that'll date this podcast, but here it is. They just released the Orisa character for Overwatch. I haven't touched it yet. Whereas every other character or map release, I've been on that like minute one. I'm there and I'm trying it out and trying to figure out how this character is going to fit into the meta. I haven't touched it yet because it drops the same day as Mass Effect Andromeda. Well, what am I going to play?
Yeah.
I'll play Mass Effect, because though that trilogy is probably one of my favorite series of games in a long time. Plus, I just played through 1, 2, and 3 again, like literally right before Andromeda came out. So,
oh, that's funny you bring that up, because Mass Effect is one of those that I've, like, you know, never touched. I'm aware that that it's quite, you know, a lot of people love it, but I don't know. I was thinking, you know, with this Andromeda stuff, I thought just aesthetically that looks like a really cool game, and so I considered trying to pick up one of those, like, 360 trilogy versions of it to play through them. How long did that take you to get through all three of them?
120 hours.
Wow.
So
not what I was expecting to hear.
So, hot tip. Okay, well, you can. I do all the side stuff too. You can blow through the main story, do the character stuff, and it'll take less time. It'll take a lot less time, actually. Hot tip. You have an Xbox One, right? Mm-hmm. So just sign up for EA Access. It's $5 a month, and all three games are backwards compatible, and you can download them right on your console tonight.
Oh, interesting.
That's how I did it.
I've seen the, you know, few headlines with EA Access, but I don't know. I try to avoid as many subscription services as I can, just because I feel like there's a lot of them out there. But that's a. Yeah, for $5 a month, I guess that is a pretty good deal.
I mean, for $5 a month, you get 42 free games, like, right after you sign up. It's actually, like, if you do it for, like, 2 months and then, like, cancel, somehow EA Access actually became, like, a worthwhile subscription, because, like, when they first launched it, it was only, like, 12 games, and, like, 9 of them were sports games that I didn't care about.
Right.
I was like, that's dumb. Like, I get who that's for, but that's dumb. I don't want to play last year's Madden for $5 a month.
Right.
And so in the lead up to Mass Effect, I'm like, oh, I can play 10 hours of Mass Effect before it comes out if I sign up. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I sign up because I'm all about Mass Effect. Then it's like, oh, play Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3 right now. I'm like, oh, Jesus. And try these 39 other games. I'm like, what happened? When did this become good? When did this become worth my money? And so, yeah, now I'm subscribed, because that's a really good service now, actually.
And there's a part of me, and it's a thing that I'm trying to shake, especially when I'm, again, getting married and moving and trying to just declutter my life. I'm a big fan of physical copies. I just like seeing them on my shelf. They make me feel good to unwrap, pop the disc in, that whole thing. So there's a part of me that's like, oh, I'd love to have, you know, that in person, though. As much as I would love to go all digital, and I'm sure I will eventually, I definitely fall on that sort of the fence at the moment.
Once you have kids, you'll go all digital.
There's the short, sweet answer from Brendan.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was the same way. I was like, ooh, I like discs. I like physical stuff. I like going to the store and going to the midnight launch. Mm-hmm. And then you have kids, and you're like, I can't go to a midnight launch because, you know, I have a kid. And, oh, what happened to that disc? Oh, it's broken. Oh, it's scratched. Yeah. Oh, it's not playing. Oh, what? What happened?
My daughter used it for a Frisbee.
I was just like, that's it. I'm done. I'm done with physical. I told my wife, I said, I'm buying everything digital. GameStop is dead to me.
Oh, man. Oh, GameStop. I've got my beef with them. But see, Amazon, I don't know if you're an Amazon Prime member, but, you know, you can get new games for $48 now and get it here in 2 days, my physical copies. So that's how I get most of my games now.
That's the smarter way of doing it. Okay, let's elaborate. Why don't you like GameStop? Let's take a 5-minute rant real quick.
I don't know. Part of it, because I think just the, for my local branch here, the employees there are just kind of stuck up because they're like too proud that they work at GameStop and think that they know more about games than every person that walks in there and makes you want to feel that way. So I really just that, I don't know, the sort of mantra about it in there bugs me. But then also the whole just like, you know, since I've become more ingrained in the whole gaming community and started thinking about, you know, like where my money goes and whatnot, you know, I've sort of moved onto the boat of, you know, like trying to be a buyer of principle and, like, you know, if buying used, you know, that I don't, from my knowledge of the economics behind it, that money doesn't go to the people that made it to, like, you know, get sequels and support all that in the future. So unless it's like something like rare or niche, or if I'm looking for an old PS2 game or something that you obviously can't buy new anymore, you know, I may go to Game Exchange or something like that. But for the most part, I've tried to just like avoid that, all that. And nowadays, GameStop is like half a merch store anyway, and there's just like loudspeakers just blasting you to pre-order this, pre-order that. It just seems just poisonous, and so yeah, not a big fan.
I'm happy somebody else agrees with me on that. Like, I went into a GameStop recently because I'm looking for a Switch still, and. Oh. Yeah, they recently bought ThinkGeek. Sorry, those two words sound too similar. Right. So yeah, half their store is just like shirts and Funko Pops, and right, they like yell at you to pre-order and they act like that they know more than you. And that is probably that is probably one of the best feelings in the world when you literally like turn around and say, "No, you're wrong."
I know, right? It's like,
because of this,
just give me the new copy.
Exactly. Like, it's to punk out a fucking 21-year-old GameStop employee who thinks that he's the hottest thing on the market right now because he's working for minimum wage at a store in the mall hawking used games.
So I've never. It's
like he knows more than me.
So I've never punked out one of their employees, but I would love to hear this story.
Oh, there's too many to count because they don't actually know what they're talking about. They are literally following the drivel that's going on their TV up there, up above them. That's their knowledge.
Okay, give me one story then, please. This is awesome.
So, No Man's Sky was a perfect example of this, actually. I did this numerous times because I actually found it fun to go back in there when they were trying to sell that this game is like infinite combinations, and to a point they're right, but to a large extent they're completely and utterly wrong. And the amount of sales that you can just like take away from them just by standing there and going, "No, he's completely wrong. This game's trash and it's boring, and like within 3 hours you'll fall asleep." He's just trying to get your money from you. Like, stop. Don't listen to this drivel. Do your research. Be an intelligent consumer.
So you went into GameStop and told the other customers there that...
that the GameStop employee was lying to them, saying that this was a good game with infinite possibilities. I'm like, no, dude. You are, like, solely mistaken on this, man. Have you played No Man's Sky?
I have, and I was very excited. Again, I bought into all of it, you know, before the game came out, and you know, all those check boxes were like, yeah, that sounds incredible. And so I don't fully buy into, you know, the whole also internet hate train about it being the worst thing in the world. But I probably played it 3 times and haven't touched it since. Like, again, it's missing a lot of stuff. I love the concept and everything. I would love to see it, like, you know, reiterated upon and, you know, maybe live up to a lot of those promises eventually and have more game there than just like Explorer Sandbox. But yeah, I'm very disappointed.
For me, it was literally that wasn't a game. Like, I played it for maybe like 2 hours and then like I was stuck on a planet. And I fell asleep, and I'm like, if I'm falling asleep while I'm trying to play a game that I was pretty excited about, like, it's not worth my time.
Yeah.
And I hate saying that because, you know, to each their own. Everybody likes their own thing, whatever. Have fun. You know,
you do. People, exactly. I don't care what it is. I love seeing people, again, like getting – one of my favorite things is just seeing people's passions, no matter what it is, if they're passionate about it and trying to make themselves better. Or somehow, or heck, if there's a dude out there that's nonstop No Man's Sky, I would love to hear his pitch for it, because yeah, like you said, you do you, that's cool.
If you find that guy, can you please like shoot him my way, because I would be fascinated to talk to this gentleman who is in love with this game and convince
somebody,
tell me I'm
right.
There has to be. Feel free, come on, tell me I'm wrong, tell me that I'm the biggest dipshit known to man who only likes his boom boom shoot 'em ups and his space operas and his anime games.
Hey,
fine.
there's plenty of room for everybody.
Exactly. So, I mean, I just don't like GameStop employees lying to people about how this is getting Game of the Year awards. And it's like, right after launch, and you're like, no, dude, like, stop lying to this old lady.
I know. Oh, that's the worst thing. Yeah, especially living in, I don't know where in the, you know, the area you are is like, but here in Stillwater, Oklahoma, you know, it's pretty rural. You know, the campus community isn't as much, but, you know, we're in Oklahoma, you know, this isn't exactly a technopole of the U.S., and so I'll be in there, you know, consider myself someone who, you know, gets gaming, all that jazz, but yeah, I'll see a lot of customers in there that, you know, clearly are there to buy a birthday gift or a Christmas present for someone. They have no idea what all these loud noises and colors are, and just how they're just like, the employees just talk them into whatever, you know, like, oh, you need to pre-order this, or, you know, they're just saying, hey, can I have, you know, they pull out their sheet of paper, can I have Call of Duty this, that, and the other, and like, yeah, we want to pre-order this and that. And I'm like, dude, they have no idea what they're talking about. Just give them the new copy of the game. It really is gross.
it's disgusting. Hey, get this GameStop card and you'll save $5. And you're like, but you're just going to hawk me ads and I'm saving $5, but I'm paying $15, which you don't tell me. And like,
right.
it's just dirty and it's just gross and kind of skeevy. And I don't know. Yeah. It's not my jam. But, you know, GameStop employees, come at me. You're more than welcome on the show. This is an open platform. Ooh, we can have an open discussion. Yeah.
That would be a very interesting interview to listen to next week, an employee.
Well, we'll get one of your people and send them my way because I can't walk into that store anymore. Oh, man. All right. We are actually running low on time, so... final question, what is the next game that you're most excited for? I know we just talked about not buying into the hype train, but like, I know that there's something on your radar that you're like, that looks fun.
Yeah. My next probably the most would be Days Gone. I know the release date isn't announced yet, but I'm just the aesthetic of that game, like the whole, I'd love to have a Harley one day. And just the Pacific Northwest setting, with a biker. I've never played a game before with a biker. I think it sounds just really interesting. And I'm not one for zombie apocalypse games, zombie stuff. I feel like society has beat that horse so badly, that I'm tired of all that. But the aesthetic of that game looks cool. I'm excited to, explore it. And, I don't know, that trailer at E3 really clicked with me, so I'm pretty excited for that whenever it does come out.
But Luke, they're not zombies. They're freakers. Or whatever they tried to sell you. They're zombies.
Silly me.
No, that's those awesome, are... man.
What about you?
Persona 5.
Oh, okay.
I need another 80-hour game to sit on top of my pile of 80-hour games that I am only like
yeah, exactly.
4 hours into. That's what I need in my life.
Well, very cool. Very cool.
Well, you've been fantastic, Luke. Where can people find you at? Go ahead. This is the new segment that I call the Shameless Plugs.
Just pimp yourself.
Where you can just shamelessly plug yourself.
Okay. Well, on all consoles, I'm my gamertag PSN ID is XBWAVE025. XBWAVE025. Again, it's something weird I came up with in middle school. I wish I could change it, come up with something clever. But that's what I am on everything. I mentioned earlier, if I could say one more thing about the ecosystems friends thing. Since I've, you know, grown up and, you know, drifted away from a lot of my high school buddies, I have like one friend that I play online games with now. And, you know, I listen to a lot of the podcasts and, like I said, the Kind of Funny forums, communities and stuff. And I'd love to meet some people out there that are, you know, like gaming friends, to be able to try out some of those stuff, like the Overwatches and, some of those games that I'm like, it really, for me, if I'm playing loner. I'd love to meet new people. I love making new friends and talk games with anyone. So that's what I am on everything.
Well, good deal, man. I'm in the same way. I'm always looking for people to play with too, except right now it's only single player open world RPG right. games that will absorb my life. But if anybody wants to play Overwatch or Heroes of the Storm, you know, always, you know, hit me up. Can anybody, you have Twitter or anything like that you want to put? Like, this is literally shamelessly plug everything you have.
Okay, I don't have that much that I, you know, I don't need the world to go look at me, but I'm on Twitter at LukeSpencer11. I like I said earlier, the things I do, I make a lot of videos for various things, and so I usually put them on there if people just like watching other people's work. But yeah, that's all I'd like to plug.
Well, that's awesome, man. I'm definitely gonna, I like seeing, especially the people I have on the show, I like seeing the content that they produce, right? Between Jose with the episode that posted today to Crush Muffins and Sidecar Games, like, I do make a point of, you know, checking out and supporting everybody that's doing something and trying to start something cool, whether
right.
they're doing it for personal whatever, you know, you do you, but I was just trying to make a point of you know, supporting people, right? Because
yeah, I think no, it's cool. Very cool. Yeah, I got it handed around. That's very cool. And like I said, really, really cool show you're putting together. I've been honored to be on it. And yeah, thanks for having me. Really, really cool idea.
Well, I appreciate it, man. My time to shamelessly plug, which this is probably the part I'm most terrible at.
No worries. I've done that before. Go for it.
You can find me on Twitter at NadNerb. You could find me on Xbox at NadNerb64. That's the same with PlayStation and Steam. You can follow the show at Why We Play Show on Twitter. And if you want to be a guest on the show, go ahead and shoot an email to whyweplayshow@gmail.com. Always looking for people. You will not get turned away. Please don't go psycho. I beg of you. But if you want to, like, you would have a platform. Just saying, I'll take the psychos. True.
Somebody would listen.
I'm hoping somebody would listen. That would be great, actually. If you have a moment, just go ahead and shoot an iTunes review. Anything helps. You can be a 1-star, 5-star. I read everything. And that just, you know, helps for visibility and stuff like that. So if you can spare a moment of your time and go ahead and do that. If you just want to email me feedback and tell me how much I suck and how I should quit doing this, you can just shoot me an email too. I will read and probably respond in kind. And that's going to do it for us this week. Luke, you have been awesome. Once again, I am lucky to have awesome people talking about awesome stuff like video games. So
same your way. I agree.
Appreciate it. That's gonna do it for us this week. Thanks for listening to Why We Play, and keep playing games, and let's have a conversation.